Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
I see you. The wind blew you right in here. In the book of Acts, it says, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come on. It was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The Lord may be going to blow in here on us this morning. I hope so.
Amen.
So we welcome you. And before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements you see listed are Mondays 9 to 12, the Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. Sunday the 16th at 4, and that's today, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ladies Auxiliary will meet. Tuesday the 18th at 6, the Deacons will meet. Wednesday the 19th, choir practice at 6:30. Thursday, February the 20th, Bible study. February the 25th at 6:30, the planning meeting for the Howe benefit. I understand that's coming along nicely. Were there any updates you want to give us? Come on.
No, it is. Everything's just falling into pieces, and it's coming together.
Right.
And I appreciate all the support. I will be here volunteers when it's
time. Yeah, we're gonna need some help when we get ready to kick in on April the 4th, but things are coming along nicely. Thanks for all you that have stepped up and are giving. And you can still, if you want to make a donation or you want to help, we're going to need a lot of help on that day. Just let Beverly know. That'll be coming up on Friday, April the 4th, Cindy Howe benefit. Of course, the planning meeting on the 25th. And on Thursday, March 13th, the 129th annual session of Eastern Conference of Original Free Will Baptist will meet at Christian Chapel Church. Registration is 8 and the conference will assemble at 9. We can have 2 delegates. If you want to be a delegate, if you let Bill know today after worship, we need to get that information sent in. We have a card that says, to our church family, I want to thank you for all the kindness and expressions of love for Pammy Jane and me during my injury. I'm not completely healed, but I am in the short rows. Thanks for the food, the visits, the phone calls, the texts, and the emails and the cards. Thank you especially for your prayers. Thanks again, Johnny. It's good to see you back on your feet. Stay that way. All right. Does anyone have an announcement or anything we need to bring to our attention?
A reminder about the Women's Auxiliary. Members, please bring your items for the South Lenore project that we're doing today. Thank you.
In the GYC 2, Ms. Wilma messaged me that the Cragmont applications will be coming out in just a couple of weeks, probably last week, February 1st of March. So if you have a child that is that age that would like to attend, just be on the lookout for that. But they do put it on social media, so I'll make sure that we can get it to the people that go here.
All right, keep us informed. Do we have any others? Well, so we're kind of short numbers on the choir, so no, we're not going to be having choir special this morning, but I got good news. You're going to be the choir, all right? So take your hymn book and stand, turn to Call to Worship 226.
Thank you.
Look in your bulletin. Let's read together the responsive reading. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. He is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations.
Father God, I just praise and worship you this morning. You're everything to us. You made us. You sustain us. And you have our eternal destiny already planned in Christ Jesus our Lord. We come to you this morning to worship you and to praise your name. Thank you for being so good to us. And bless us this morning. Fill us with your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll please remain standing and turn to 560 in the hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of More About Jesus. Be seated. Miss Linda Fay has our scriptures this morning.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the prophet Isaiah, and it's in chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. I'll be reading from the New International Version. This is what the Lord says. And he's talking about sin and punishment of Judah and various sayings that the Lord gives. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Luke comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. In this reading, Jesus is teaching and healing, and he's looking at a great multitude of people that he's teaching. It answers the question about the Sabbath, and this happens after Jesus chose the 12 apostles. He went down with them, and he stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region at Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from Jesus and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, and he gives to them what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, and they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For this is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and you will weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I forgot to mention yesterday our group served at the soup kitchen, Mary's Soup Kitchen. I think it was, like 95 that comes in? 116.
By the time
we came back. Okay. So, thanks for all of you who served there. As we worship this morning, we want to remember those who ask answers in our prayers. I would remind you that the prayer concerns list on the back of your bulletin. As you pray each day, lift those. Prayer makes a difference. Are there any names we need to call this morning?
Remember our great grandson, she was taken to Greenville Hospital last night.
He thought pneumonia and COVID, but I texted Taylor this morning and they said that he was doing better and that he
possibly could come back home
today. So I thank God for answering
the prayers.
And also remember the Lewis Murphy family. Lewis Murphy family. What was your grandson's name? Whately. Whately, okay. All right. Any others?
Maybe remember Jackie Kennedy. Jerry's sister.
Okay, Jackie Kennedy, all right.
Has been diagnosed with an invasive form of breast cancer, and she needs all the prayers that we can lift up.
Any others? So let's remember these needs and certainly remember the blessings that God gives us every day. And pray for one another. let's take opportunity to pray this morning and ask John if he would to lead us.
Begging in some cases, but Lord, we thank you for everything that you do for us, things we are aware of, things we're not. Lord, there's so many people that have needs, our neighborhood, other neighborhoods, other countries, other places, Lord, there's just so much. I'm so glad that you are you and I'm not, because there's a lot to do. But you're on top of it. Somehow or other, you are always on top of it. We ask for those that are on our prayer list, Lord. We ask for those that are on people's minds. We ask for those that have lost loved ones. We ask for those that have still got people sick. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to be with them. And we ask that you be with our pastor as he brings us a morning message that you've given him to share with us. And we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here. The weather's a little nasty, but in here, we're all about you. So I pray that you be with us, Lord. Bless each and every one that's here, and bless those that couldn't be here for whatever reason. All these things I ask and pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 384 in the hymnals. We're going to stand and sing both verses of Spirit Song.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come at this time, Father, it's our time to show your love, to be your hands once more for our gifts, Father. We're just asking that each one realizes the deep meaning as we're given and given to the ones that are truly in need. Father, I just ask you bless the giver and the receiver. In your name, Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Scripture text today comes in the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. We'll get into that here in a minute. We've been in a series called Vintage Church, as it was from the beginning. And we've been examining the book of Acts, examining the mindset, the methods, the message, and the mission of the early church, asking ourselves these questions. How can we structure our lives and our church to be more like the original church? How can our church impact our culture the way the early church impacted their culture? Today we will look at another important aspect of that first vintage church and what enabled it to go into the world, a pagan world, a pagan culture, and to turn it into a mostly Christian culture. Bill Bright will be remembered as one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And through his ministry, he was involved in leading millions, literally millions of people to Jesus Christ all over the world. Of all the Bible doctrines and spiritual disciplines that Bill Bright was passionate about, he said there was one topic dear to his heart than any other. He said that if he had only one message to preach, it would be on the topic that we're going to look at today. He said, if I had only one sermon to preach, it would be on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And over the years, I've seen how this experience changes people. Matter of fact, there can be no change without the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it happen to Methodists. And Episcopalians and Lutherans and Baptists, fundamentalists, liberals, and people of every other imaginal faith or tradition, lost people, people at their wit's end. And when they experience a personal connection, a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, their life changes dramatically. You can say it goes into overdrive. Their prayer life changes. They experience a newfound joy they never dreamed possible. They experience power over the sins they face. They feel a closeness to God they've never known before and they never dreamed possible. And most of all, they have a great positive impact for the kingdom of God. This should not be a surprise, because this is what Jesus said would happen. He told his disciples in John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And then in verse 27 of 14, he said, the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. You know what all means, don't you?
All.
And will remind you of everything. You know what everything means, don't you?
Everything.
Everything I've said to you, he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And after the resurrection, he said to them in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This connection, this encounter with the Holy Spirit would send them out into their culture and change it forever. How we need that today. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we are filled with the power of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no power for the God-sized task that God desires to do in our midst and in our culture. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a life-changing experience. It opens the door to receive God's power and God's peace and God's presence. The Holy Spirit life is not intended to be an optional add-on. You ever went to buy a car and it had options you could add on? Anybody ever went through that before?
Yes.
It's not optional. It's intended to be a necessity, an essential part of the Christian life. It was the Holy Spirit that gave that first vintage church the power to change the world. It was their encounter with the Holy Spirit that gifted them to help the people of their culture find and follow Jesus. And I often have heard over the years people talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what gift they wanted and this and that and other. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift. When you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, the Holy Spirit will give you the gift that you need to live your Christian life. Today we want to look at a brief story here in the book of Acts chapter 8, 14 through 17. And then talk just for a few minutes about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It begins like this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. This is important. But because before the death and resurrection of Jesus, they didn't want nothing to do with Samaritans. Right? If they had to go somewhere where they had to go through, they would go around. They wouldn't even set foot on the dirt. But notice here that people in Samaria had found Jesus. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that, They sent Peter and John down there to see how things were going. 15 says when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Peter and John put their hands on them or placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. There was something about their life that when Peter and John got down there, they could not see any evidence that they were Spirit-filled. Now, you know, when I think about that, I think about the church and our culture today. How does our world see the church? Does it see it merely like those Samaritans down that Peter and John went to see, that is devoid of the Holy Spirit of God? Or does it see a church that's filled with power from on high? They want to look at and learn from the example in this story and what it means to experience the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice here, there were people who were following Jesus, but they had not yet experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because, as Luke said, the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them. I want you to realize that there are many believers today in the same situation. Even some, maybe you're here in this room today. You've given your life to Jesus and you're saved and you're going to heaven. But you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You're living life on your own strength. You're doing the best that you can do. You're doing what you've always done. But life is a struggle. You're not really sure where you fit in the church or even in the kingdom of God. I mean, you're really not seeing or expecting or not a part of the great things that God is doing today in the life of people. You're really not actively helping people find and follow Jesus. Listen, church, God's plan for his people is not that we just accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and then do our best to live by the rules. That's what he scolded the Pharisees for, trying to live by the rules. God's plan for his people is that we accept him, we receive him in our lives, so that he lives in and through us. Listen, when you're weak, he wants to give you strength. When you're afraid, God wants to give you courage. When you're in turmoil, God wants to give you peace. When you encounter lost people, the lost people of our culture, he wants for you to help them find and follow Jesus. God has not merely called us just to obey the rules. He's asking us to allow him to come into our lives, to have a personal relationship with him, and to let him help us and make us become like his son, Jesus Christ. That's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. It's the personal relationship part of our connection to God. The Holy Spirit is the promised gift of God. I'll say it again. He is the gift. And so today I encourage you to come before God, just like these Samaritan believers, and ask to receive the Holy Spirit in your life. You might say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm already a Christian, and I've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I'm already filled. I already know about this. But I want you to understand what I'm saying here. You're exactly right. But here's what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you to come before God and admit your need for his presence and his power and his fullness in your life daily. Ask him to send his Holy Spirit into your life and in a life-changing way. Expect him to do it and to make the necessary change, to fill you with his power, his blessing, his anointing, his gifts, his fruits, his service, his love. Ask him to fill you in such a way that it overflows out of your life into somebody else. And I find that what happens many times in the life of a believer. We have a little taste of the Spirit, but nothing's flowing out. We need to be filled so full that it pours out on somebody else. And here's what I know. According to his word, he'll do it. He made this promise. Jeremiah 29:13, if you'll seek me If you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hebrews 11 said God rewards those who earnestly seek him. What that means is if you ask God to fill you with his spirit, he'll do it. There's a point of emphasis here I want to make. You receive the filling of the spirit by asking for it. There's no 36-step program to go to, all right? There's no particular place you have to be. You don't have to be from a particular tradition, a certain family, or associated with a certain denomination. We receive the filling of the Holy Spirit by asking for it. Not by working for it, or paying for it, or earning it in any way. It's just like our salvation. It's a gift of God. You receive the filling of His Spirit by asking for it with a pure heart, a heart that just simply wants to receive all that God has to give and nothing else. In the same chapter of Acts we're reading about there's a story about a man named Simon. And he saw something in the life of Peter and John that was different. He had seen religious people and he had seen the religious of pagan cultures and Jewish cultures. But there was something about the life of Peter and John. And man, after he saw Peter and John pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit and they received it, he decided he wanted that too. So he offered them some money. You remember reading that story? Give me this power too. And Peter rebuked him and said, you cannot buy the gift of God with money. Aren't you glad? Huh? You receive him into your life the same way you receive salvation. You ask God. He's willing to give. So when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about three things quickly to remember, because it's not that difficult a thing. It's really rather simple. God makes things simple when he wants to bless us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, first of all, means he's getting more of you. I want to split a theological hair here. When you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit. All of him. Jesus came into your life. He forgave you your sins. That old sinful nature was buried. You became a new creation in Christ. That work is complete. It's made complete through Christ Jesus. So when you're asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not receiving more of him. He doesn't give you everything he's got to give on the cross. When you're asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's receiving more of you. You might say it's kind of like a visitor that comes to your house. And, let's say the Amazon people. Y'all have Amazon people come to y'all's house? When they come out here to the driveway, that's as far as they come, right? Huh? Yep. You allow them to come into the driveway. But when you surrender fully to God, you're giving the Holy Spirit free reign to the entire household. You know, a lot of times we want to leave God in the driveway. We want to leave the Holy Spirit in the driveway, just like the Amazon people. When we ask him to come in their lives, we're saying, get out the truck, come in the house, and you can have free reign over the entire household. The den, the study, the halls, the kitchen, bedroom, the attic, the basement, the refrigerator, the washer, dryer, the whole nine yards. Just come and infiltrate. So when you're asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're giving more of yourself to God. How many here today can admit that we need to give the Holy Spirit more access to our lives? Three people. All right. Ask. The second thing I want you to think about is being filled with the Spirit means you're living under the influence. On the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell on these believers in the upper room and filled them with his power. There were some observers who cracked that these men were filled with wine. In other words, they were drunk. This is an interesting analogy. Maybe one we can relate with. Anyone who's ever been drunk or under the influence of any kind of mind-altering substance can understand it. A person could drink just a few ounces of alcoholic beverage and the alcohol would take control of their body. It affects the way they think, the way they talk, the way they walk. It affects their judgment. It affects their temperament. It affects their mood. And when a person's under the influence of alcohol, they become in many ways a different person. Many people have had the regrettable experience of having to say, "That wasn't me. That was the alcohol talking." You ever heard that before? In a similar way, it can be said that being under the influence of the Holy Spirit is kind of like this. Because being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it affects your temperament, it affects your judgment, it affects the way you think, it affects the way you talk, it affects the way you treat others. The difference, of course, is many times alcohol has a negative effect, but being filled with the Holy Spirit has a positive effect on your actions and on the lives of those you encounter. I'm telling you today that you can have the experience of being able to say, "Well, I can't take credit for these good things that's happening. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God." When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in situations where you're able to speak the exact words a person needs to hear that's hurting. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in situations where you're able to pray with power, when you're able to serve with patience, when you're able to impact people in a way that they're able to find and follow Jesus, when you're able to accomplish big things, God-sized things that never would have been possible without Him. And then you'll know, and others will know, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means that we're striving to be under His influence. Amen? So the third thing I want you to notice is being filled means it's an ongoing experience. It's not that you get filled with the Holy Spirit and that one experience lasts until you get to heaven. It's an ongoing experience. You have to be filled day after day and moment after moment. We have to open every compartment of our lives and ask Him to come in. A man once said, "No less than 2,000 times a day I ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit." I began to do the math trying to figure that out. But I think what he was trying to say maybe is, his point was that the filling of the Holy Spirit is an everyday ongoing experience. It's hard to live a Christian life. It's hard to follow Jesus without it. We are constantly filled and refilled and filled again as we walk with God throughout the day. That's why encountering and having an encounter with the Holy Spirit is so important. It means that we have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, minute by minute. And we experience God's presence again and again and again throughout the day, after day, after the day, throughout the night. I mean, if you wake up and can't sleep at night, you know who you can call on? The Holy Spirit. He gives peace. He gives us rest. So, in conclusion, according to one of the greatest Christian leaders of the 20th century, the most important aspect of following Jesus is learning how to live the Spirit-filled life. When you walk in the Spirit, you have His presence, you have His power, you have His peace. You bless those around you. You have all the gifts you need to live a life of holiness. You're driven by the fruits of His Spirit. And according to the First Venice Church, the most important part of following Jesus is living the Spirit-filled life. And so in order to enhance our relationship with God on a greater level than ever before, we need to make it a moment-by-moment objective to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody here ever forgot something that you were supposed to do? And you know what? We can forget that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. It's like we forget where we left our cell phone or our keys or what we supposed to have got at the grocery store. And we don't want that to happen, do we? Don't let a day go by. Don't let an hour go by without asking Him to fill you with everything He's got. How do you do it? You ask. You ask. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." So at the beginning of the day, every hour of the day, at the close of the day, ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. To fill you like you've never been filled before. Expect Him to come in and clean up some rooms and organize some rooms. To change some things. Come upon you with power. So you can be useful to Him, to His kingdom, and to our culture. So your life will be filled with His glory and His power. We need that encounter with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You that You're alive and that You can fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We just simply ask You right now in a way we've never asked You before. Just come into our hearts, into our lives. And do what needs to be done when you get in there. And we're going to thank You with expectant and humble hearts in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's turn to 552 in the hymnal. Stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of "I Am Thine, O Lord."
Thank you.
Once again, we thank you for being present today, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that spirit with you into the world, those you encounter. Pour the love of God upon them. Do we have anything we need to say before we leave? Anybody? We'll be dismissed then. Michael, would you dismiss us?
Dear everybody, thank you for the blessings that were given to us today. Bless it all that we take it hard what we said and bring us back home safe and sound. Christ, I pray.
Amen.